You are listening to Perspectives Live, a weekly podcast from Life Heritage Ministries with host Dr. Keith Augustus Burton. It is no secret that Jan Smuts patterned South African apartheid after American segregationist policies. Smuts benchmarked an American system that was legalized by Plessy versus Ferguson and took it to a new level. His version of apartheid did not just involve a division between whites and the rest, but further subdivided the rest into multiple tribal and ethnic groups. After years of division, millions rejoiced when the end of apartheid was symbolically indicated by the elevation of Nelson Mandela to the South African presidency. As South Africa makes the painful transition to a society with some semblance of equality, it is forced to come to terms with the reality that it is not societal laws that cause apartheid, it's people. You see, racist laws have no power if people don't obey them. As it relates to the United States of America, it's been almost 50 years since Brown versus the Board of Education mandated integration in schools, and it's been more than 40 years since the passing of the Civil Rights Act. However, even with these judicial and legislative announcements, apartheid ideology is still woven into the fabric of America. American apartheid is so entrenched that government attempts to enforce integration have failed miserably. Busing black kids to white schools has done nothing to enhance race relations. In fact, they've only exacerbated them. In many, not all instances, black students are forced to sit in classes where teachers have no concern about their education or their future. And to make matters worse, the unreasonable distance from home to school make it difficult for their parents to participate in the academic process. We find also that voluntary attempts to integrate neighborhoods have also been horrendous. There were unwritten rules that prohibited blacks from obtaining real estate in certain areas. And when someone broke the code and sold to a Negro, the results were predictable: white flight. The demographics of entire neighborhoods have been drastically altered by racist resentment. The legacy of apartheid is so much a part of America that the current administration has no problem promoting it around the world. Recently, former President Jimmy Carter was blasted when he raised his prophetic voice to lambast the demonic system that drives the state of Israel. So blinded are some to the evils of oppressive segregation that they equate the aggressive arrogance of the Israeli government with the will of God. With this enthusiastic support of Israeli apartheid, no one should be surprised with the recent attempts to construct dividing walls in Iraq. They're being built under the guise of security, but it doesn't take a genius to know that walls don't unite, they separate. This is not a strategy for unity. Walls don't solve anybody's problem. They didn't work in Germany, they are not working in Israel, and they won't work in Iraq. President Bush and his misguided strategies have already been successful in sowing separationist seeds among Sunni, Shia, and Kurds. His divisive rhetoric has torn apart communities where Sunni and Shia lived harmoniously for decades. And now he wants to build walls instead of bridges? When is this administration going to admit its failings and allow the Iraqis to follow their own plan for unity? When will the neo-imperialists acknowledge that divide-and-conquer schemes can never lead to harmony? The solution to the current problems in Iraq will never be attained by the construction of walls by occupying forces. In fact, no military strategy will bring peace to the region. History has long taught us that violence only begets violence. The law of the harvest is as true today as it was at creation. You reap what you sow. The people of Iraq, my friends, have been through enough. They've seen their society damaged by imperialist ideologues who want to control their wealth and their minds. And now their sovereignty is being further threatened by walls. Walls will only contribute to the problem, I say again. The free citizens of Iraq don't need the U.S. government to dictate their destiny. What they need is a word from the Lord. They need to hear from the Prince of Peace, who specializes in demolishing walls. In him, we find, there is no Sunni or Shia, Catholic or Protestant, Theravada or Mahayana, Hasidic or Reform, for you see, he has abolished the isms that divide and invites us to unite under the umbrella of love. All who profess to follow Christ are called to participate with him in the demolition of walls. Driven by the principle of love, we view all men and women as brothers and sisters. We are moved to respond when we see sickness and pain. We're not satisfied with giant inequities between the wealthy and the impoverished. We don't support violent wars that indiscriminately take innocent lives. We live our lives in such a way that we're always mindful that a tree is known by its fruit. I trust you are blessed by this edition of Perspectives Live, a production of the Life Heritage Radio Network. If you'd like to comment on this podcast, you may do so at www.lifeheritagepodomatic.com, or you may call the network at 206-350-5476. That's 206-350-LHRN. I'm asking that you consider becoming a sponsor of this podcast and would appreciate your donations. Secure donations may be made online at www.lifeheritage.podomatic.com, or they may be sent to Life Heritage Radio Network, P.O. Box 56, Harvest, Alabama 35749. All who donate $25 or over will receive a copy of today's featured sermon, In God We Trust, and a copy of Dr. Burton's celebrated book, The Compassion of the Christ. God bless you all, and always remember that a tree is known by its fruit.